Sorry.
Okay.
Thanks.
I wish I could just stay here for good, although the last 2 days have been raining. Today's the first day we really have some sunshine here. So, yeah, no, but just a quick recap again. You know, I'm Josh Andres, principal with Shuffle Boyle, lead, you know, one that kind of signs the engagement. Alex Hoffman, who's on the call as well, is the lead audit team member that's out in the field leading the field work side of things. And so, you know, we appreciate the relationship that we have with the organization and the great job that Rhonda and her staff do in getting the information presented to us in a clean and orderly fashion that helps, you know, get us through that real quickly. And then, you know, our part of the audit itself is the independent auditor's report, and that's pages 1 through 3 in the full bound set of financial statements. And then pages 4 and 5 are due to some compliance reporting that are due to some of the monies received through the Illinois State Library. So there's also a letter that is by us within the bound audited statements. But the rest of the statements themselves are the systems. And then, you know, we are engaged to come report on those and whether or not we can present our opinion on that, whether that be a clean opinion, unmodified, modified, adverse, disclaimer. We're happy to report that we have an unmodified opinion for the current year, which is the best opinion that you can receive. And so that is a real positive that there are no issues related to that. So I don't know if that helps from the recap standpoint.
It does.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
And then pages 14 and 15, again, are the full accrual set of financial statements. And then we have the rest of the report, which is more the modified accrual that you're used to sort of budgeting for and seeing information on. And those, you know, the modified accrual, like those things such as the fixed assets or debt payments, et cetera, those are expensed as incurred. So, you know, we went through a lot of remodeling and those types of expenses. So on pages 14 and 15, the full accrual, those are set up as a fixed asset and depreciated over a, you know, a useful life. And so some of that expense is peeled in over time as, you know, the remodel would lose value as time went on, as it was utilized. Whereas in the modified accrual set of statements, all of those expenses hit the bottom line. So, you know, that's why maybe on the modified accrual, the year doesn't look as good here when you've done a lot of this type of work, where on the full accrual, it looks a lot better because those expenses aren't hitting the bottom line. They're getting depreciated in over time. So it's just a difference in method of accounting, but we present them both within the bound set of financial statements. So on page 16, that's really where the set of financial statements start. And that is your balance sheet on what are the governmental funds. So your general fund, CMC, capital projects funds, things like that. The share program is presented separately as that's deemed to be a proprietary type fund. And so that is later on in the report. But on page 16, just kind of wanted to touch on the cash balances of each of the major funds, which are general, CMC, and capital projects. You know, strong cash position in those funds. General fund was $4.975 million versus $5.1 million in the prior year. So still, you know, went down slightly, but still a very, you know, strong position. CMC, that fluctuates with the grant and when the monies are used. And so there's about $42,000 as of June 30th. And then the capital projects fund was about $1.4 million, down slightly from $1.6 in the prior year. But again, that's, you know, part of the remodeling process. And as you start to, you know, spend that for whatever projects are, so, you know, a lot of that's anticipated as well. So overall speaking, you know, from an operational standpoint, those sort of governmental type funds, you know, military type fund, it was 4.3 million of expenditures for the year. And so if you think that about that in the cash position world, you know, in total, you've got about 6 million, a little over 6 million in cash. And so we have a nice reserve there for, you know, anything that may pop up if the, you know, state gets behind in payment or something like that. So a real strong position from a reserve standpoint. You know, generally speaking, we like to see at least 6 months on hand in reserves. And, you know, when you get to that 12-month mark, that's about, you know, the strongest spot we like to see. So you guys are right there. So a strong cash position. So in some years, the cash position's fluctuated because the area per capita grant hasn't been received by year end. And then in some years it has been received. And so for 6/30/22, that was received prior to year end. So that's being presented within that cash balance. So in some years, the receivable's been really high because it hasn't come in. And this year it was zero related to that because it had all come in prior to the end of the year. So now sitting within the cash balances. So that's really the balance sheet. And then we have on page 18, which is, it's called the Statement of Revenues, Expenditures, and Changes in Fund Balance, but this is really, you know, what you could refer to as the income statement. And so just wanted to touch on each of these funds, sort of fund by fund. So the general fund overall in the current year had $3.7 million in revenues. And this was, you know, up slightly from the prior year, but about, you know, status quo, which was expected, you know, as that area and per capita grant, you know, makes up pretty much a bulk of that funding there within the general fund. Disbursement wise, disbursements were $3.5 million in the current year, up from $3.2 million in the current year. You know, as you guys have felt it, we've felt it, you know, payroll costs have become, you know, a major thing industry-wide as, you know, you've had to stay competitive with salaries and things like that to keep people staffed, as people are, you know, jumping from job to job, and we're feeling it as well too. So we've had to do some of the same. So, you know, so an increase in expenses in the current year, overall, and mainly related to, you know, salary increases, as, you know, you've made adjustments as needed, as what the market, you know, told us we needed to. And so then you have your standard transfers out, mainly over to the share program to assist in operations there. So overall in the general fund, we had a net change of a decrease of $120,000. Again, mainly due to that increase in expenses while revenues stayed, you know, consistent between the 2 years. So on the second page of that handout, at the top, there's the CMC grant fund. Again, nothing exciting here. That's really just driven by, you know, the amount of funding in the current year. And then you spend those grant funds within that same, typically within that same year. And so overall, we had a net change in fund balance of a positive $15,000 for the current year. The capital projects fund, again, real no funding source on the receipt side, you know, mainly interest income, that sort of thing. And then, you know, disbursements were $250,000 in the current year, up from $170,000 in the prior year. And so overall, a net change in fund balance within that fund of a negative $245,000. Again, due to, you know, some of those remodeling costs and some of that other, you know, sort of project-driven stuff that all funnels through that fund. And then we have non-major funds, which is really the OCLC fund. Usually, there's can be in the past, there's been the Marco quality and some of those other funds that, you know, group in here as well, but the OCLC is the main driver here. Receipts were 149,000, down slightly from the prior year, and disbursements were about the same as the prior year. So basically a flat in that particular, in the non-major funds. So when we look at fund balance, that's really basically a cash representation for the most part. And so as I alluded to there on the first page, your cash balances, these fund balances, you know, they may not be exactly the same in every fund, but they align closely with cash balance. And so that's really just, again, the reserve that you have on hand for operations standpoint. So, but then on the third page, now we're talking about the share fund. And again, this fund is deemed a proprietary fund where it's run more like a business type fund than a governmental type fund, which is funded for a program or a purpose. This is more a business type entity where it can generate income based on it. That may not be the sole purpose of it, but that's what the standard, you know, wants us to break that out separately. So again, we gave you a 3-year look here. Overall operating revenues were, you know, very consistent, $2.2 million in the current year versus $2.1 million in the prior year. Operating expenses were up slightly. Again, you know, salaries, you know, increase and things like that. And so drives expenses up. And they were $1.9 million in the current year versus $1.7 in the prior year. And then we have the transfer coming in over from the general fund to help supplement operations, but overall a net positive of 630,000. So, and it was 621,000 in the prior year. So again, solid. And even if you take out the transfer from the general fund in those two respective years, we're operating at a net positive. So, you know, really self-sufficient at that point. So that's very great to see. And so, and then, you know, I just gave here on pages 44 to 46 were some budget to actual. Again, you guys probably see a lot of this through reporting that Rhonda provides you on a month-to-month basis. But, you know, that's really just looking at it as a whole for the entire year on those major type funds. So nothing shocking here. I will, and we'll touch on this a little bit. There was the CMC grant fund that, you know, had expenditures over budget by about $7,000. And that was just due to some accruals of payroll and transitioning from people from one department to another. So really sort of a unique type thing, not really a common thing. But because of that, we've had to have a reporting item in the financial statements that typically isn't there. But again, nothing of concern, just something we'll touch on here shortly. So then pages 31 through 42 kind of shown here at the bottom, those are some note disclosures that may provide a little bit more, discussion and information to some of the items that you might be interested in. Note one, item P, page 31, that just discusses the new lease standard and now how on those full accrual set of financial statements, we have to, you know, carry this now asset and liability and then write the use of that asset off over time as you've leased it. And I know, you know, we went to leasing some vehicle fleets, you know, through Enterprise and now maybe going back the other way. And so that part may not become a big issue, but there is leasing of the building that, you know, will continue to carry on through this process. So again, they always come out with something new to make things complex, and this is the next new thing, I'll say. But similar to the the net pension liability and things that they brought on a few years ago. The standard's really just trying to give a better picture on a full accrual type basis of what's out there to make it easy for the reader to see. So I know I flew through a lot in a little amount of time from a number standpoint, but before I move on, does anybody have any questions related to the numbers themselves? I probably put everybody to sleep. But so one thing I kind of said we'd touch on, and that was this compliance report. Pages 4 and 5 is the independent auditor's report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance, et cetera, a long title there. But effectively, we have to do some additional testing related to this to ensure that based on the type of money received by the organization to be able to issue this report. And so we do have a couple findings related to this. Again, nothing significant. I already hit on one of them, and that being the over budget in that CMC fund, which I think is a unique occurrence. Nothing to be alarmed there. One that is a constant that we talk about all the time, and I mentioned at the beginning of this, was our part in this is really the independent auditor's reports. Your part is really the financial statements. And when we assist in preparing those financial statements, and we have to put a finding in there that says so. Really, the only way to get out of this is to have someone on staff that could basically put the set of financial statements together, or we could go over through some other hoops and hurdles. But generally speaking, most people don't care to do that. 99.9% of our clients have this exact same finding. So it's not unique to you all. It is kind of industry, standard that this is out there in the type of, audits that we perform for smaller local type, organizations that the standards really weren't written for. They were written for Ford Motor Company, who's getting their audited set of financial statements and has, 30 CPAs on staff and things like that. So again, that's in the report. And then, like I said, I mentioned the budget item and the CMC thing, again, a unique thing. And then one thing we do test is certain individuals within the organization have to file an economic interest statement. And there were 3 individuals out of 36 that didn't file timely. And so, again, I don't know that it's a big deal, but it, based on the requirements, we just have to put it in there that wasn't compliant. I know we've discussed with Rhonda, and I think Rhonda with Leslie, to make sure that, I think somebody's going to oversee that to make sure that those are all taken care of going forward by the due date. But again, those are nothing really alarming in our minds, but unfortunately, based on the standards, we have to put them in the audit report. So so those are the couple findings that are at the back of the audit report that I just wanted to touch on. There is one letter that I don't think we sent as part of everything. It's called our SAS 114 letter. It's just required communication with those charged with governance, which is the board or finance committee. And so that will be presented in a couple weeks when we do the full board presentation. But again, that's just going through some required communications because of some of the scandals that have happened in the past and, auditors getting too close with individuals on staff. They've wanted it now to become in writing instead of being done verbally. So there's this letter to do so. It just references that there's a new accounting standard, GASB 87, that we talked about that's put in place. We attach any journal entries that we make to that letter so everyone can see what was done. And then, if there were any disagreements with management, we'd have to put that in writing, which we're happy to say there are none. And, you know, if we had to consult with any third parties or anything like that, there would be some additional information in there. But there's nothing exciting in there, but that letter will be presented with the full board come, I guess, 2 weeks from tomorrow. So other than that, I know I rambled on a lot and I apologize. So I don't know if anybody has any questions, or if you're like, man, just go back to being in Florida and leave us alone. I'm not sure. So I'm happy to entertain, or really all the hard questions can go to Alex. He's the one that did all the work. So, you know, appreciate him. And, you know, he speaks very highly of Rhonda, you all and your staff, and everything that you do to get us what we need and quickly as well. So to where we can get it turned around in a timely fashion. So we appreciate that, but open the floor if there's any questions.
No questions at all?
Everybody's asleep, so no questions.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. No, we appreciate being a part of the organization and the relationship that we have. And so, you know, thank you for allowing us to be part of it.
Thanks. We appreciate the work that you do for us also.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll plan on being back in a couple of weeks, and you'll get to hear it all one more time. So, but if you review those financial statements and, you know, questions do pop up, please let us know. We're happy to, you know, answer whatever they may be, or if something doesn't make sense to you, or why is it shown this way or that way, you know, we're always happy to answer those questions. And Rhonda knows how to get a hold of us. So reach out to her and we'll make sure that gets taken care of.
All right. Thank you again. Next up is a approval of the minutes from the June 13 meeting.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
So we just need a motion to approve the June 13 minutes.
This is Ryan. I'll make that motion.
This is Kevin. I'll second.
Thank you, Kevin. And can we go to a roll call vote, please?
Sorry, Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
And Chastity Mays?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, next up is unfinished business. First is the Edwardsville building update.
That's me. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. So in Edwardsville, as we indicated for FY 2023, the first project that we are focusing on, actually there are two, is the replacement of a roof at the Edwardsville building, and also some tuck pointing that different contractors, when they've been in the building, have pointed out need to be done. So we have draft RFIs, RFPs, request for proposal. They have gone to fill in Zini. Tomorrow, the Facilities and Operations Committee will discuss how those look and next steps. And then we should be posting them as soon as we can. Other than that, nothing else has happened for FY 2023's budget yet regarding the building. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Next. Chastity, are you taking off now?
Yeah, I'm on an airplane, so I have to go.
Okay, bye. Good travel.
Bye.
Bye.
Chastity had messaged me about taking over, but I didn't know if that should go to someone else or not. I'm certainly happy to do it, but.
Go for it.
Thanks. So the next is the automatic material handler update.
We have a draft report from the consultant, and that is going to be part of what the facilities and operations committee talks about tomorrow. And then that, based on, I think, feedback from that committee, he'll I'll reach out to the consultant and he'll put his final report together. And then we will share it with all of you in advance of the September board meeting, as we had indicated. So we also had a meeting this afternoon with our staff as we turn the corner, and we've now completed the RFI process and did some ROI analysis. We're looking at the other side of the coin, and the other side of the coin is the communication piece. So we have an internal team right now that's working on what those next steps actually look like. And we will have some more like a draft of outline of what our communication plan is for this process. And as we continue to gather information, because all of this is an information gathering endeavor at this point. So you'll get all of that at the September board meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Moving on to new business, we have acceptance of the August 22, 2022 bills. Everybody had a chance to review. Were there any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the August 22, 2022 bills as presented.
This is Ryan. I'll make that motion.
Ryan, do I have a second? Kevin, Ken, Kelsey, make a second. Roll call, please.
Okay. Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
And Kevin Latos.
Yes.
Okay.
Next, the acceptance of August 31st, 2022 financial reports. Everybody reviewed those. Were there any questions that we had for Rhonda? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept.
Actually, I'm sorry, I do have a question.
Oh, okay.
Rhonda, is it possible that we could do cash flow statements? I do like to see where the cash flow is going over a period of time.
Okay, we can look into that for sure. And I know at one time we did have some, we were working on for our new, whenever we implemented the software, we were having issues with how that was being produced out of the software, but we can definitely take another look at it and see what we can come up with.
It's, you know, because our income is not consistent, cash flow is a big deal for us. So I like I just like to see month to month cash flow statements.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the August 31st, 2022 financial reports as presented.
Ryan, I'll make that motion.
Ryan, second. Do I have a second? Kevin, Kelsey, seconded. Roll call, please.
Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
And Kevin Latos.
Yes. Okay. Motion carried. Next is the fiscal year 2023 proposed budget amendments on attachment 7.3. So Rhonda or Leslie, do you want to go over that?
I'd be happy to. Leslie, you want me to do that? So when we submitted the FY 2023 Library Trustee Training Grant, the State Library came back and due to some budgeting constraints that they had, asked if we could decrease it to somewhere around $150,000. So we went back through the grant and the timeline and tried to cut back and slow the timeline down some also. And they, you know, advised us to maybe do that also and try to spread it out more of a two-year process. So we did that. We redid the budget. on what we thought we could cut it down to and still get to where we wanted to be by the end of the fiscal year. And we resubmitted the grant. The state library did approve it at the amount that we requested, which was, I think, $156,000. I believe it was like $844,000. Sorry, I don't have that total in front of me just yet, but it was, I have that here actually. Yeah, $156,844 was the total amount we decreased it to, and that amount was approved. So this budget proposal is showing you the decrease from that original budget that was approved by the board in May. And then it's showing the decrease in the general fund of the grant administration because we're only allowed 10% of the direct cost of grants. So that had to decrease. And then also there's a capital projects that we had to include in there. The Carly lease, the staff wanted a wall to separate from IHLS's staff for that area that they are leasing. They requested that we handle that and pay for it, and they will fully reimburse us for the cost of the wall. So we had to include what we had estimated is $25,000 from some information that we've gathered between electric work, the construction work, the architect drawings, and different various contracted amounts that we had different bids on. We think that will be the total cost of the project, and then they will reimburse us fully. So there's no change in the bottom line of that grant. It's just that you're going to see it. We have to have the approval of the revenue and the expense that that project is going to cause in the capital projects fund. So those are the changes you're seeing in the budgets, and we will need that amendment to carry forward.
So your project coordinator's salary is already set when you submitted the grant, is that correct?
Yes.
And that's for a period of 2 years, and that's the length of employment for that person then?
Yes. That will potentially. Potentially, yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. And does this do anything? This does not increase our, does this increase our deficit, or it just lowers it a little bit?
It lowers it a little bit because of the decrease of revenue. Now, I will point out that we have a large amount that we're over on the income and interest income because the, Illinois funds is doing quite well again. They're currently up to a little over 2.3%. So we are way beyond, I mean, in 1 month, we've made up for the decrease of this grant admin almost in just our, what we received in general funds, Illinois funds actually in their interest. So I suspect, you know, our revenue anyway, due to that is going to be over what we budgeted. So overall, it's really not going to have at the end of it all going to matter because that interest income is quite larger than what we had budgeted for.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have any questions on this?
Okay. If none, then we need to vote to move this forward to executive, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to accept the budget amendments as presented.
I'll make that motion.
Anne, thank you. I have a second.
I'll second.
Kevin, second. Roll call, please.
Okay. Anne Chandler.
Yes.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes.
And that's all. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Item D, Executive Directory Salary Grade, Attachment 7.4. Leslie or Rhonda, would you like to walk us through this, please?
Yes, I will do that. Thank you. So as you know, some of you, I would assume, remember that salary grades were approved by the IHLS board at your June 21st meeting of this year. At that point, we had talked about the process to have all positions benchmarked into salary grades. And that was all positions with the exception of the executive director position, which was done later. At your finance committee meeting on June 13th of this year, the committee reviewed the proposed salary grades with the inclusion of grade 17, which is the level that HR Source put the executive director at. And the committee approved the salary grades without the executive director position included. 2 days later, on June 15th, the executive committee approved all levels of the salary grades except grade 17. They also moved to send the reconsideration of salary grade 17 back to the finance committee. So now we have a new, slightly newly constituted finance committee. And so at the August 15 meeting, the executive committee discussed the proposed salary grade for the executive director. It was their position that according to the bylaws, it's the responsibility of the finance committee to approve all salary levels. One of the points in the bylaws about responsibilities for this committee states that it is to update the salary schedule appropriately based upon information from the executive director. Because there was some questions at the June 13 meeting about how, I'm not actually sure what the questions were, but we decided to go ahead and share with you some proprietary information that was made available to us from HR Source. It lays out the surveys that they consider. Some of them are their own surveys. Some of them are national surveys as well. In addition, we had a conversation with legal counsel, and her comments are listed there. So what you have as an attachment, and I know there are two conversations about salary grades on this agenda. We decided to make them separate, hopefully to be less confusing, not more confusing. And so what you've got is the salary grades that were approved that were effective July 1, 2022, with the addition of the grade 17.
I would like to make a motion that the executive director is removed from the pay grade assignments. And basically on that, because she is a contracted employee, she's in the third year of her contract. The contract currently states, and please correct me if I'm wrong, salaries may be given up to 5% that it's stated. There is no director, and you think back, library directors aren't put on scales. Executives are not put on scales. When we need to replace the executive director, all this does is confine us to this. The law states we are to appoint and to fix the compensation. That doesn't mean on salary scale. So I'm adamantly opposed. I think it's a poor move for Illinois Heartland to do this. The contract is up for renewal and renegotiation. And I don't think that an executive has ever put on a salary scale.
And it's not up for renewal. She's on a five-year contract.
Oh, I was understanding it was three, then even more. Because it is five. Thank you for correcting me. I appreciate that. But it says up to 5%. And with the salary grade, as we found out earlier, some people got some amazing raises for them. You know, some of them were up to $30,000 raises. So I'm adamantly opposed that any executive director is put on a salary scale. I think that's a negotiable item. So that's my view, and that's my amendment, that we should not put her on an executive, put her on this scale simply because it's not done for executive directors. And it's a really bad move for the finances of Illinois Heartland. When the contract is up, there's always negotiation and there is fixed compensation. The other thing I'd like to know too is what does the executive director make? What's her salary for this year?
Leslie, go ahead. Sorry, Kevin, you're in charge.
Pardon me?
I said Kevin's, I'm acting like I'm normally in charge. I said, oh. So it's Kevin. I'm sorry. I'll back off.
Yeah, so and if you can help me understand, or let me first put the question to Leslie. Are you requesting that, you're not requesting that we approve the entire structure again, because we've already approved it without the executive directory or director. So you're asking for us to approve adding the executive director salary grade to the matrix. Is that correct?
So I'm sorry, if it's not on the salary grade, then how can we remove it, Anne? I don't understand.
Well, I may have mismotioned. But
if it's already not in there, then you can't move to remove it.
Okay,
that then makes sense.
I will redo that. I'm going to just adamantly say I will vote no on this because it's inappropriate for an executive.
So there's not even a motion in
okay
that right. We're talking about yet. So there's nothing to vote no for.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin. That was my next question, was to Ann. So appreciate you stating that. So I guess first off, what we're being requested to do is to add that salary grade of 17, I believe, for the executive director. So I would need a motion to go ahead and add the salary grade 17 as the executive directory salary grade.
I'm going to make the motion not to add it then.
So we can only have a motion to add it or to make the motion. And since, like Kevin Kelsey said, it's not on the thing, so we can't motion to not add it or, okay. You know, so your no vote, if it should go that far in a roll call, would be your position on it.
All right.
But first off, I would need a motion to add it.
In the interest of moving to discussion phase, I will make that motion to add it.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. So now, any more discussion?
So Anne, to your concern, and correct me if I'm wrong, but salary grades, and I'm on a salary grade in my position. So different communities may do it differently, but there's still room for negotiation within that, correct? It's not a hard and fast number. So where when the contract is up or performance evaluations mm-hmm. are rendered, we would still have that flexibility. Future boards will still have that flexibility, even with the grade in place. Is that correct?
I think what it would do, it would hinder the negotiations. Plus, why are we bringing this up at this point when this is, and correct me, this is a third year of a five-year contract and compensation amount.
The contract doesn't state her compensation. Like it doesn't
says
set
up to 5%.
That's fine, but it doesn't set a salary. It doesn't set a set salary in there. So this is creating an executive position in the salary scale, just like Ryan's position, just like my director has here in Highland. This is not an unknown variable. I work for the federal government. Every level of the government has a salary scale. My director at NPRC has a salary. It's set to a grade. This is putting us on the same standard as a government agency, which we are.
Well, this, the rules say to appoint and to fix the compensation. I think you just bind yourselves in. If Leslie decides to quit, then you're within these ranges. Why would you position yourself like that? So when she has a contract.
You're exactly right. It does bind us. It gives us guardrails or a general idea of what the compensation should be. If you think it's going to be dramatically more than that or dramatically less than that, then that's a discussion. But the guardrails are good guardrails to have, in my mind.
That's where my position works. And I negotiated when I was hired in my job what my salary would be. I don't know what grade they were going to put me in or whatever anyways, but I negotiated my salary upon being hired, even though we have the same thing. It falls within a, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000 range within that. So I have no problem with it personally. I don't think it binds us. If we were in a salary negotiation process, certainly the finance committee could put on the agenda to change the range in order to fit in with that, you know.
One of my questions did not get answered. What is the salary for this year for the director? I looked on the website to see if it was there. I couldn't, not saying it wasn't there, I couldn't find it.
Rhonda, do you have that exact number? I have an estimate. I don't have an exact.
I do. Her current salary for fiscal year 23 is $164,011.63 is an annual salary.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So slightly below midpoint. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is a good place to be. Any more discussion?
I just simply think it's putting you in a place for your executive director in a bad spot financially and otherwise, and this should be a product of negotiation, not a salary scale.
Okay, thank you. So motion has been made and seconded. Next step would be to call for a roll call, please.
Okay. Ann Chandler?
No.
Okay. Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion carried. Next item on the agenda, going back, is the project coordinator salary grade update.
Thank you, Kevin. When we were putting together the proposal for the trustee training grant with the Illinois State Library, we estimated at that point that it would be an anticipated salary grade level of 7, but we had not at that point sent in to HR Source the documentation for them to evaluate it. With the whole picture of all of our staff. When they came back, they placed it at a salary grade 8. So knowing that this is one of the responsibilities of the finance committee, we wanted to bring this back to you since it's not, the proposal would be to move it from a grade 7 where it currently is located to a grade 8. And that's what you see in at the second page of that attachment, which would be salaries effective October 1, 2022.
What is Rhonda, as I asked the question, Rhonda said that salary was already put in within the grant. Mm-hmm. So was that put in under grade 7?
So when we originally figured it, it was, but then when we made the amendments, it fits now within the amended budget amounts.
So you put her in grade 8 within the proposal and it's not board approved, that amount, is that correct?
In the grant. Uh-huh. Yeah, we made the allowance. Now that it fits within the personnel amount in the grant that we had redone, yes. And then that's why we brought that amendment to you guys, you know, for your approval to move on to the executive.
Okay, but the salary is already, that salary in grade level 8 is already included in the amendment you sent to the state. Is that correct?
Yes, because we had to, in order for them to review it and get the approval to know if we were going to be allowed at that amount or we had to make further adjustments to that budget.
Okay.
Does that limit us in any way? If we decide to do a 7, does that grant change that?
Or are we, no, I mean, the numbers fit within the amounts in the budget for the personnel for that grant that we applied for and got approved from the state library. So it'll, you know, it'll be covered by the grant funds appropriately. And then next year, as we, if we make the decision, you know, for the amount, it'll be applied for correctly when we apply next year. for the second year of that grant too.
Are temporary employees put on salary scales?
Yes. Yes.
Is she a 1099 or is she a...
No, it's a W-2 employee, okay. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So if I understand correctly, and I probably don't, but the amount that was put in for the grant would fit within the 7 or the 8 as because correct. They overlap. So it still fits in both of those salary schedules. It would be just where it falls with midpoint.
Mm-hmm. And where we decide when we hire that person, where they get appropriately placed, you know, on that. But either way, that amount will fit within the personnel budget for that grant.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So let me move back here. So you're asking that we change the salary grade from a 7 to an 8.
Yes, to be consistent with the HR source proposed amount or proposed grade levels, like they've done with all the other grade levels. So we're consistent with their recommendations.
Okay. I'll call for a motion that we update the project coordinator salary grade from a 7 to an 8.
I'll make that motion.
Kevin Kelsey, thank you. Do I have a second?
This is Ryan, I'll second.
Ryan, second. Any further discussion? If not, I'll ask for a roll call, please.
Okay, Ann Chandler?
Yes.
Okay, Ryan Johnson?
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey?
Yes.
Kevin Latos?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Do we have any public comment? I guess we'd have to have public. Are there any announcements that need to be made?
I would just like to say thank you all for moving the date or the time rather of this meeting. I know yes. I've been absent from the last several due to other conflicts, so it's nice to be able to zoom in again.
I will echo that. This is a perfect time for me.
Good.
It's much better time as well. I appreciate that.
That's good.
If nothing else, I'll entertain
Kevin, to adjourn. I'm sorry to interrupt. Okay. I also have an announcement. So you haven't seen this yet because the poll hasn't been posted. I reached out. We finished our, just so you're aware, we're going to, Joshua has agreed to let us call for a special board meeting to hire a facilities and operations director. We concluded those in-person interviews late last week. We made an offer to an individual today. They accepted it. It is to our, I think to everyone's advantage that person come on board as soon as possible, because we do have projects like the roof and the tuck pointing that we would love to have them participate with. So hopefully, if not today, tomorrow, the poll will be posted. So hopefully you'll check your email. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Got it.
I'll second it.
Okay, Ann second. Roll call, please.
Okay, Ann Chandler.
Yes.
Okay, Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
Kevin Kelsey.
Yes.
Kevin Latos.
Yes. Okay. Right.
Take care, all.
Well, thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.